everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne State, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for those who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, of course, their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I have learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. And today, as you can see, I'm trying something different. So let me know if this works or you want to go back to listening format, because it's definitely new for me. So today I want to talk about the third part in the multi-part series called Pain. And after speaking with a lot of interviewees, there's a lot of pain that starts the seed of unforgiveness. And in part three today, we're going to talk about sibling pain. Now, I want to bring back the question that I've been speaking about for the past two episodes, which is on the podcast itself. And honestly, it's been driving this conversation, which was by author, writer, and managing director at desiringgod.org. And it says this, Marsha Segal asked, how much trouble have you experienced in life? Do you consciously or unconsciously attribute to your parents or other family members, to things they withheld from you, to lessons they hadn't learned yet, to character flaws in them that haven't changed, the mistakes they made in raising you, to sins they committed against you? And I want to ask, how many of us can answer this question honestly? It's a hard one, but it does need to be asked. I tried to find research on the role of what a brother and or sister is, but I couldn't find any. So I'm just going to speak from my own experience of what my brothers and sisters have been to me. Now, full disclosure, I'm an only child, but I have people who I'm really, really close to who I consider my brothers and my sisters. And if I count those, I have, geez, how many? Seven brothers and seven sisters. Jeez, I forget how many that was. But let me say this. They've been so many things in my life. And what they've been to me has been protectors, helpers, listeners, confidants, secret holders, friends, encouragers, a fellow celebrator. Yeah, that's the word. Celebrators in my accomplishments, my partners in crimes, and more. And I appreciate every single one of them for that. But what about those who are your actual siblings, or those who you consider your siblings, who have violated those roles or any other role? What happens then? They violated your trust. They violated you emotionally, mentally, some physically, and it's tearing you up inside. What happens then? I want to read you a story that I found. And it goes like this. There were two sisters who were 7 years apart, Tina and Dana. When Dana was born, Tina was excited to have a baby sister whom she could love and play with. During their childhood years, they shared the same bedroom and would dance, sing, laugh, and pretend play. Tina wiped Dana's tears, cleaned up her scrapes, taught her how to ride a bike and how to swim. Life was simple and good, and they were as close as two sisters should be. During that time, a baby brother arrived. Dana was still a baby herself at 3 years of age, but not happy to share all the attention. That's probably a lot of us. One day, when guests arrived to visit the baby bearing gifts, Dana went into her room and, in a fit of jealousy, emptied out all of her dressers. Tina, however, loved her new brother and doted on him, and she was torn between the two siblings. Their mothers worked nights, and Tina often had to fill in as a mother's who were younger siblings. As time passed, Dana found it difficult to sleep at night, fearing the dark, even though she had Tina in the bed next to her and a small nightlight illuminating the bedroom. In the wee hours after everyone was long asleep, she would call for her sister to sleep with her. Sometimes Tina would crawl into the small twin bed with her, and other times Tina would refuse. Now, why she refused is hard to say, as she herself was a child and sometimes selfish. On those nights, Dana would call for her mother to come, and her mother, tired from her own work, would sometimes spank her for waking up the entire household. When Tina became a mother herself, her guilt over this caused great sorrow, and she shared her regret with her sister. How could she have known what her selfishness did to her sister? That's something we all think about. We were selfish in our younger days to our siblings, or they were selfish with us, and we hold that grudge, or we hold regret. Why did we do this? Why did we treat them that way? Why did they treat me this way? Why did they do this? X, Y, Z. What does that say to you when that regret washes over you? What does that say to you? It's a question I want to ask. They grew older, and Tina made sure to attend all of Dana's school events, teacher interviews, school performances, sporting events. You see, their parents were immigrants and did not have a command of the English language, so it fell on Tina to translate and fill in with when necessary. She didn't mind. She loved her sister. Now, that's the thing that I've noticed, I've seen. A lot of people don't spend time with someone. Since we're talking about siblings, we'll use in this case. You don't spend time with your siblings in the early stages of their life. But as they get older, it's like, dang, I really wish I'd, you know, connected with my sibling or something. And you do a lot on the later end, whether it be their teenage years, young adult years, something. Honestly, if that was me, I'd be like, okay, it's a little weird, but all right. But that's just me. If that's you who's gone from 0 to 100, kudos. And for the siblings that have received it, take it in stride. That's the one thing I would say. But at the same time, thank God for it. That's just my 2 cents. Eventually, Tina went off to high school, and Dana and Mark, their brother, remained in grade school. Dana and Mark were close in age, so they became good friends. The two sisters, they grew apart as their lives took separate paths. Tina graduated from high school and entered college, while Dana entered high school. During those years, both girls met the men that they would later marry. Dana went off to university, where she became a teacher. Tina married and had her first child. Dana was excited to have a nephew and visited her sister often. And then Dana, too, graduated and married. In the early years of Dana's career, Tina again attended all of her sister's school events. This time, Dana was the one orchestrating the extracurricular activities for her students. She was an exceptional teacher, and Tina was sure to let everyone know this. Dana, on the other hand, grew more resentful toward her sister's absence in her life. There are times when the resentment will come up at a random time. I remember a pastor told me that the enemy comes a lot during this time. And there's going to be resentment when you're celebratory or a good thing has happened. You're always thinking, why weren't you here for this? Why didn't you teach me this? Why didn't you celebrate with me before? And that's something I want to caution you about, because it says, the devil prowls around like a lion seeking whom to devour. And resentment is honestly, that's the way that you can get devoured. Resentment, anger. I know it says the enemy prowls around like a lion. I'm going to use a different metaphor. I'm resentful. I'm angry. You have all of that. The enemy sees that. He smells blood in the water. Any resentment, any anger, any bitterness, blood in the water. He'll attack. And that's something I want to caution you all about. Don't let any anger or bitterness or resentment creep up in you. If you recognize it, thank God for that. but now it has to be resolved. It has to be resolved and not to be sat in. Their families expanded. Tina had two more children and Dana gave birth to two beautiful daughters. Their careers became more demanding and they ventured off to start businesses of their own. Things between them grew strained while Tina's business flourished and Dana's didn't. Dana grew more resentful. That's another thing that'll happen. When you see your sibling who, in a way, who did you wrong in some way, shape, or form doing better than you, that grows more resentment. That could grow jealousy and, again, blood in the water. I wonder how many of us had blood in the water and the enemy attacked us. How many of us were bleeding in the water and didn't know? Or how many of us were bleeding in the water and knew about it anyway and still just said, I don't care? I want to sit with you on that and just say, God wants to bring you out of the water. He doesn't want to see you bleeding in the water. He wants you to be healed from that. He doesn't want you to be drowning in that. He doesn't want to see the enemy overcome you. It says that we are more than conquerors in Romans. So that means we're victorious. We're victors, not the victims. Because that's what sharks go after. Blood in the water. Tina never understood why Dana grew more resentful. Dana had continued her education part-time and received her master's in education. She became a vice principal, and Tina continued to sing Dana's praises. Over the last 30 years, they shifted between moments of closeness and distance. The road's been bumpy for them, to be certain. Last year, Dana was diagnosed with breast cancer, and Tina rallied to her side, wanting to extend her help to her sister. In an act of love, she gathered a group of seven women together to participate in a 60-kilometer walk to end breast cancer. During the walk, Tina prayed for God's help each step after the first 20 kilometers was a torment. The day of Dana's surgery, Tina sat in a waiting room with her own daughter and Dana's husband for 6 hours, praying until she ran out of words that the cancer in her sister's body was not the bad one. How powerful is that, that you have beef with your sibling, but your sibling's praying for you? Or your sibling has beef with you and you're praying for them. It says, do not repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. And in for doing so, you will reap coals of fire on their head. I wonder if anybody got any hot coals in their head. I probably do. I don't know. I'm just going to put myself in that just in case. I mean, I do it because I really don't know. I really don't know. So I will put myself in that column, category? Category. That's the word I'm going to use. Don't judge me. Back to the story. Thankfully, Dane's cancer was caught early and the required radiation was radiation, not chemotherapy. Even during her illness, Dana kept her sister at arm's length. Tina continued to call her periodically, but Dana rarely picked up the phone to call her sister. Several weeks ago, Tina called her sister to discuss the rift between Dana and their brother. Although Tina had tried to remain neutral, she felt compelled to intervene and was causing her parents great pain. Now, I want to say this. There are times when sibling, for lack of a better term, sibling rivalry will cause a ripple effect to the entire family. It'll hit the parents first, because of course it's their children. Then it'll hit the rest of the family. quarreling within the family doesn't just affect the immediate family. It affects everybody and it affects everything. The beef with siblings will touch the mom and dad. And then they'll probably think, what did we do wrong with raising them? Maybe it'll cause problems in their marriage. Maybe it causes issues on their job, something. But when it comes to family, when it comes to sibling rivalry or sibling issues, it always ripples out to other parts of our lives. And that's something I want to give you all to think about. We realize that it's not just us that are affected. And if it does affect more than one person, are we willing to set it aside? Are we willing to pray to God for peace, for reconciliation? Are we willing to go to therapy or counseling? What are we willing to do? Now, I understand that there are some things that are, for lack of a better term, worse for wear. Maybe it was a physical, maybe it's a physical, like physically violation to a point where they can't be reconciled, but forgiveness can still be done. That's something that honestly only God can do. God and counseling, I apologize, God and counseling. And that's something I definitely would encourage you to do. Wow. I'll continue. Dana was also using the children as pawns in her argument with her brother. Didn't I say ripple effect? The conversation did not go well, and Dana told her sister to stay out of her business. Tina told her that it was her business. She was, after all, her sister, and she should be able to tell her how she felt. That was when Dana handed out her final blow, telling her sister that she had always been a sister in title only. Tina was devastated. How could her sister say such a horrible thing to her? There are times in anger we say things that we do feel. And it's like I said before, how you feel is valid. You feel hurt and angry is always, it's valid. Don't let anybody tell you, you shouldn't feel that way. Or why are you feeling that way? You don't need to, or you shouldn't. The Bible says this, be angry. But right after that, it says, and sin not. So when it comes to our feelings, right? Letting them out in a healthy outlet is always a good thing. Prayer, therapy, to a trusted friend, family member. It's always healthy to let it out. Holding in how you feel, it's, I'll say like a volcano. Over time, it can erupt. That's a wrong analogy. Let's not do that. But what I will say is this. When it comes to your emotions, it needs to be let out in a healthy way. If left unchecked or not released, it'll turn us into someone that we don't recognize. It will turn us into a person that no one wants to be around. So while I say, please express how you feel, do it in a healthy and a safe way. And that's honestly one, I'll tell you right now, you need to pray to God and tell him exactly how you feel. Spoiler alert, he knows how you feel anyway. He knows what's in your mind. He created you. I'll say it again. He knows what you're thinking. He created you. Let it out. Going to a licensed therapist, also, they're trained to help you with these emotions. And there are times you need to go, you may need to speak to a trusted family member or friend. My advice, go to someone who's really wise in, I'm going to say, in the word and how they carry themselves. Me personally, I always go with somebody older. Because for me, this is me personally, they've lived life a lot longer than I have. So they've seen things, known things, and probably have gone through the same things I have. So that's just me personally. Back to the story. For weeks, she anguished over this. She had reached out to her sister in so many ways. She was hurt and angry. She asked God for guidance. How can anyone treat a family member this way? What could she do? Then the answer came. Forgive. There's that F word. Tina had to forgive Dana for the things that she said and the omissions that she made, and then let her go. We can't force anyone, even our family members, to love us or want us in their lives. It is in forgiveness that we find our own peace. So that's what Tina did. She said a prayer of forgiveness and asked God to bless her sister, and then she let her go. If one day she returns, Tina will open her arms and welcome back. Welcome her back. Didn't God tell us to turn the other cheek? He did. God entrusted Tina to be her sister's keeper long ago, and she couldn't forsake that trust. Now, that's something I want to talk about really quickly. We can't force anyone, even our family members, to love us or want us in their lives. As much as we want to be in our siblings' lives or our siblings want us in their lives, it can't be forced. But what can be done is to forgive them for what they've done. And from there, we can find our own peace. It is like I said before, if God wants that door to be reopened, it shall be reopened. And if it's not, okay. But that's something that definitely God has to do. Now, what I do want to talk about, another story, it's in the Bible, and you probably know where I'm going. It's a story of Joseph and forgiving his brothers. In the book of Genesis, chapters 37 to 50, I say read it in your own time. This is a summarized version of it. Trust me, read it in your own time. It's good. Joseph's brothers planned to kill him because, one, Joseph was his father's favorite. Two, he paraded around a gift that only his dad made him. And three, he told them that in a dream, God gave him a vision that all his brothers would bow to him. Now, first off, let's talk about that. Oh, you daddy's favorite? He got you a Gucci coat that he ain't get us. He ain't think about us. And three, we gonna bow down to you? Oh, no. No, 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 sir. No, sir. No, sir. I ain't gonna front. Joseph would get on my nerves. But that's just me. That's just me. So what they did, they plotted against him. They said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to kill him. Yep, that's what we're going to do. Well, that escalated very quickly. But in all seriousness, Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him. How much hurt did they have that they wanted to kill their own brother? How much anger did they have they wanted to kill their own brother? Now, in this new age, we always joke around, like, man, oh my goodness. Like, in the 90s, like, I'll kill you. Like, you're dead. You're dead. But we never meant it. Some of y'all probably did, and y'all need prayer. But in all seriousness, how many of us have really thought about that? Like, yo, like, there's some who probably think their wish their sibling was dead for the pain they caused. Maybe they wish worse. But his brother, well, one of Joseph's brothers said, no, 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 we're not going to, let's not kill him or throw him in the well. Not as bad as the first option, but still not good. So they threw him in an old cistern, a water tank, right? Now, they just say, we're just going to sell him. That's what we're going to do. And one of his brothers was like, yeah, that's a good idea. He said, but in his mind, he said, I'm going to come back, grab him before he gets sold so that we can leave, so that, you know, he'll be safe. But Joseph ended up getting sold to Ishmaelite traders. How bad is it that they just sold their brother off like it was nothing? There was no pain, no hurt, no guilt. No shame. That's a problem. When we get to a point where we don't care about our siblings, as in, well, he's dead, that's something where we need to definitely talk to God, because our heart's been turned to stone. Back to the story. He ended up working for Potiphar, who was an officer to the Pharaoh. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, but Joseph was like, oh, nah, girl, we good. You my boss's wife. No, I'm not dealing with you. So Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph. And Joseph got put in prison for years. While he was in jail, he helped someone get out of jail. And the dude, he helped two people get out of jail. And he said, remember me when you get out. Dude was like, cool, I got you. He forgot all about him. And he did, and he was still in prison. But then one day, the Pharaoh had a dream that could not be interpreted. And then that's when the guy remembered Joseph. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And he did such a good job that he was favored. He became the number two person. He only had to answer to Pharaoh. Everyone else answered to him. Now, there was a famine happening in the world. And his brothers, now this is years have gone past, mind you. And his brothers came from their hometown all the way to where Joseph was to beg for food. Now, here's the crazy part. They didn't know who he was because they thought he was dead. And his brothers became begging him for food, and they didn't even recognize him. But then Joseph revealed himself and said, don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. The famine that has ravaged the land and for 2 years and will last five more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive, to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, and the governor of all Egypt. I want to enter the mind of Joseph if I can. He didn't stew on, if my brothers didn't do this to me, I wouldn't be here. He didn't let that go into hatred. He never let that enter his thoughts. That's just my opinion. And the thing is, he didn't let it overtake him. A lot of us will go over and over replaying in our minds what our siblings did to hurt us. And with that said, we just let it take over, to turn to anger, to hatred. I hate you. I wish you were dead. You're nothing to me. You're not my brother. You are not my sister. You're worthless. You're nothing. That never entered his mind. And then when he got elevated to number two, I know God knew, God created him, and I knew that God put it, God knew Joseph's heart. Because when he became number two, Joseph could have done the exact same thing and said, I will put all of you in prison. I want y'all to rot the same as I did. But he didn't. He said this, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. Now, do you remember what I said before about beef within the siblings can cause a ripple effect and affect the rest of the families? That's the same with forgiveness, have a ripple effect. Let's do a hypothetical. When you're having issues with your sibling, we'll say your brother, and then you patch up, you forgive him. You ever realize how that love and that generosity extends to even their kids? It's crazy how that works. I have all these sisters, right? I'll give you a perfect example. So with one of my sisters, she has my niece, and I love my sister, don't get me wrong. And then when I see my niece, I'm filled with nothing but joy and happiness when I see her. And I turn into that proud uncle. I was like, you want something? You want me to give you something? I will spoil them. I'm telling you, I will. I really will. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I digress. And it's like the love that I have for my sister, I will extend that down to her daughter, my niece. And that's the same, and that's what happens. The love we have with our sibling, it'll go to our children. It's a ripple effect. The family will be blessed that way. So Joseph reassured them by speaking kindly to him. He forgave them and chose to take care of their children. He didn't even hold grudges against their children. Now I want to ask, how many of us have held grudges against not only our sibling or another person, and let that grudge trickle to even the people connected to them, like their own children, or their in-laws, their family, something? Joseph decided to cut it off at the source. And that's something that I want to ask you all. Are you willing to let that grudge cause a ripple effect? Or that forgiveness to cause a ripple effect? Another biblical story I want to talk about is the brothers of Jacob and Esau. That can be found in the book of Genesis, chapters 25, 27, 32 and 33. Again, read that at your own leisure. It's a great story. This is a big summarization. Remember that. Esau came home after working a hard day in the fields and saw Jacob making some stew. And he asked him for it. Jacob was like, nah, fam, I'm hungry. This is mine. Esau was like, give me food. I'm hungry. I need it. And Jacob, he was like, all right, sell me your birthright for it. I'll give you the stew for that. Now, mind you, the birthright, it has to do with both position and inheritance. And by birthright, the firstborn son inherited the leadership of the family and the judicial authority of his dad. And Esau gave that away to Jacob for some stew. How many of us have given something away when we were hungry? Starving for something. We gave up something permanent for something temporary. That's a message in itself. I'm going to move on. not only that, When their father Isaac was dying and could hardly see, Jacob stepped in, disguised himself as Esau, and took away the blessing that was meant for him. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Goes back to what I said before. How many really have thought about their sibling being dead? Really thought about doing that deed. Then their mother Rebekah overheard Esau saying this and told Jacob to run to his uncle's house, Laban. Years later, as Jacob was traveling, decades later, my apologies, he saw that he would run into Esau, and Esau had 400 men with him. Jacob was traveling with his family, and Esau had 400 men with him. Yeah, I'd be scared. I ain't gonna front. Jacob was so scared that he prayed to God for him to deliver Jacob from the hands of Esau. And Jacob also sent gifts over to Esau to appease him. And then the meeting happened. I know Jacob was betting that his brother was going to whoop the dick. He was about to beat the brakes off that man. Like, literally beat the brakes off of him. But then when Esau saw Jacob, he ran up to him, embraced him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau asked him about the gifts that Jacob sent, he said that they were to find favor in Esau's sight, and Esau said he had enough. He was good. But Jacob said this, "No, please, if I have found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand. Inasmuch as I have seen your face, as though I had seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me, please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." So he urged him, and he took it. Esau had forgiven his brother for stealing what was rightfully his. Esau, in the early years, he was ready to kill Jacob. But over time, this is my humble opinion. Over time, I believe God worked in his heart to make it right with his brother, to make it work, to make it right. Jacob was living in fear of his brother, and Esau didn't have no ill will in his heart, just love and forgiveness. He probably thought, "I miss my brother. I was young. I did so many things I could have done better. I miss my brother." And he came to him, and he's finally had the chance. I really hope, my thought is that Esau probably prayed to God and was one to reconcile with his brother. That's my thought. And then when Esau, and the reason why I say that is because when he finally saw Jacob, he hugged him, fell on his neck, wept, kissed his brother. Do you know how much love that is for you to really hug on your brother and just weep when seeing him? I'm really thinking that Esau was praying, saying, "God, please bring my brother back in my life. Please help me make it right with my brother." I bet you he was praying on that for decades. And then when it finally happened, that embrace. How many of you have been praying for reconciliation with your sibling? How many of us want to reconcile with our siblings but don't know how? God will do that. God will answer your prayer on forgiving your sibling. He'll answer your prayer on reconciling. He will answer your prayer. When I was looking some things up about forgiveness, there were a lot of verses on forgiving your brother. And honestly, another one just came to mind. And it's something that I will read to you. First off, in Luke chapter 17, verses 3-4, Jesus Christ said, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Peter asked Jesus this: "What should we do if our brother repeats an offense seven times? Should we forgive them seven times? It's like, well, after that, it's like, no, Jesus, like 70 times seven. Now, mathematicians, that's 490 times, but it goes back to what I said in the previous episode. What about that 491st time? Think about that. But what should we do if our brother repeats an offense seven times? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says this: "It is his glory to pass over a transgression. Address it, resolve it if possible, forgive it, and move on. Vengeance is God's alone. It is not ours." As it says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, "I will take revenge. I will pay them back. In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive and their destiny will overtake them." Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says this: "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, 'I will take revenge. I will pay them back.'" Now, this is a verse that came to me. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23-24. "So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." Every time I see something about I've seen a lot of forgiveness verses, but a lot of there are many I've seen with the word brother in them. So that's something I want to encourage you all to look at. Read those verses in your spare time and let God speak to you on that. Refusing to deal with our anger, bitterness, rage, harsh words, backstabbing, and grudges gives Satan a foothold in our lives. It goes back to what I said, though, that's blood in the water. Anger, bitterness, rage, harsh words, backstabbing, grudges, blood in the water. Don't bleed in the water. There's some things I want you to think about. There's a video by Pastor Stephen Chandler of Destiny Church who said, family is built, it's not born. And when it comes to our families, it can be a sore spot. But don't worry, we all have gone through things that our family has done. It may not have been on the same scale, but it has hit on the same note. We must build our families up and not tear them down. A lot of times, when it comes to families, like, we're born, but a lot of times we're born, but we're not family, like, we're not close. There are times where you can see brothers there night and day, or sisters night and day, and they don't get along. Some of them are siblings in title only. That's where the building goes. The relationship between siblings need to be built. It needs to be maintained. There has to be love there. There has to be trust there, and so on and so forth. But as I said, we must build our families up and not tear them down. Another thing is, consider that, like all of us, when your brother or sister hurts you, they're flawed. As it says in the Bible, we have all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Forgive your sibling. Do it in your heart first. And if they're alive, reach out to them. However, if they're gone or unreachable or passed on, It helps to write down your thoughts and share them with someone close. Not Ray Ray or Black from down the street, but a very trusted person. Pray on and see who that is. But what if it's a great wrong, you ask? Not forgiving is a greater wrong. In injuring you, others have committed an offense against man, but in not forgiving them, you commit an offense against God. Forgiveness reflects God's character, and when we forgive, we reflect the Father's love. I want to read that again. But what if it's a great wrong? Not forgiving is a greater wrong. In injuring you, others have committed an offense against man, but in not forgiving them, you commit an offense against God. Forgiveness reflects God's character, and when we forgive, we reflect the Father's love. I can't say anything else. The standard is this: forgive as he has forgiven you. Forgiveness gives us the opportunity to extend to others what God has extended to us. And our purpose in life is to develop God's character. But our human nature and its accompanying pride are the antithesis of forgiveness. I hope I said that right. Pride opposes and resists our need to forgive. It demands justice and wants to get even. Our nature does not want to forgive. Our flesh doesn't want us to forgive. Our flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. Definitely something we need to look into. Those who deal with, I wanted to read from what Catholic priest Robert L. Hagedorn said. When I was first ordained a priest, I believe that over 50% of the problems were at least in part due to unforgiveness. And after 10 years in the ministry, I revised my estimate and maintained that 75 to 80% of all health, marital, family, and financial problems come from unforgiveness. Now, after more than 20 years in the ministry, I've concluded that over 90% of all problems are rooted in unforgiveness. He makes a good observation in the degradation that a failure to forgive brings to society and is directly linked to the command that Christ gave. Human nature is vindictive. Do unto others as they do unto you and more. That's the way people think. You can see this desire for revenge, retaliation, and mudslinging in our entertainment, on the movie screen, music, television, but also in society and in business and politics. It surrounds us. But in spite of all this evil, confusion, and hatred, we are told to forgive as often as we have opportunity. And lastly, consider our Heavenly Father and seek to be like him. God teaches us throughout the Bible how to give thanks and forgiveness. His son Jesus Christ was a perfect human example of this. It's very possible that we have deep wounds from our siblings. God's grace can heal our hearts and relationships. He can give us the ability to forgive. And our Heavenly Father can teach us new patterns of living and loving in all our relationships. We need this. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing this up. I pray, Lord, that you give us the strength to forgive our siblings who have hurt us. Whether the hurt is physical, mental, emotional, financial, spiritual, however, give us the strength and the wisdom to forgive. And if it's in your will for the siblings to be reconciled, let it be. If not, then it is in your will. But I pray that you help, that you give us the strength to do our part, and that is to forgive our siblings. And if reconcile is done, give us the strength and the wisdom to make that relationship grow. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. I really do appreciate you all. If you want, please like, subscribe, rate this on all platforms, and share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. They could be going through some sibling issues. I know there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us or to do what it takes in this episode. We can only do that with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and for that to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, and power over sin and power of the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. And if you did pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. It's the best decision you can ever make in your life. Now, I want you to get into a good Bible teaching church who preaches the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, ask social media, and ask your friends and family for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. And if this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk about them. You can go through your healthcare provider. You can go to Google. Again, ask family and friends who got therapy for recommendations. I also want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness is on Facebook. We have our own Facebook page. The link is in the show notes. Join in the conversation. You can also find my social media as well on Instagram, on Facebook, and the links in the show notes as well. You can also leave me a voicemail on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. And that link is in the show notes before. Another thing is I need your help. I'm enrolled in the coaching program and through my local college pursuing a certification in life coaching with the International Coaching Federation. And as part of the curriculum, I need to reach 100 hours to become certified. I'm hoping to connect with people who have an interest in being coached and moving the needle in their life or need help in forgiving those who have hurt them. Many people have an interest in moving from where they are and where they want to be. And coaching can be the key that unlocks that potential. And I'm asking if you or anyone you know might benefit from coaching, please contact me. That link is in the show notes as well. I'd be happy to chat more about it and be grateful for it. And I want to let you know the first session is free. So definitely hit the link in the show notes. I want you all an amazing week. And remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that is not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.
Hello, everyone. I come today with a heavy heart. On November 21st, a friend of mine who I went to elementary school with passed away from COVID. It hit me hard because he was a great father, a great husband, a great friend. And this COVID virus is something serious. I know there are those who have lost someone from COVID, know someone who have it. Maybe those who are listening to this podcast has COVID. My prayers are going out for each and every one of you. And for those who do not have COVID, please be mindful and be careful. These guidelines aren't to stop your life or to make you feel trapped. They're here to keep you safe and those around you safe, to keep you alive. So I'm asking you all, please wear a mask, stay at least 6 feet apart, avoid crowds, wash your hands often. The more steps you take, the more you're protected against COVID-19. If you need to, go to your state's guidelines to read if there's anything else you need to do. Please keep safe. The death toll is rising. People are losing family, friends. My prayer and hope is that this virus is destroyed in the name of Jesus. But until then, we must all do our part. Wear a mask. Stay 6 feet apart. Avoid crowds. Wash your hands. Keep safe. Love on one another. You can save a life.